Hello, and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff, and I'm delighted to have you with me today. We're going to talk about how you can begin to work as a partner with your doctor in managing your health, and specifically in addressing risk factors for some of the more common chronic diseases, most of which are preventable, or certainly you can have a significant impact on them if you take the right action. And we've all had the little speech from our doctors about lowering our weight and lowering our cholesterol and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't always sink in. It's not always couched in practical terms. And so it's not always, as they say in the trade, actionable advice. It's not the kind of advice you can take action on. So we're going to talk with Dr. David Michael today, and he's going to give us some insights into the way that he's turned the normal doctor data into actionable advice for his patients and begun to work with them more as a coach than as a dictator in having them make an impact on their health. So I hope you'll stay with us and listen to a very interesting conversation with Dr. David Michael, who's an internist from North Carolina, talking about Know Your Number, the magic number that will help guide you in making positive changes in the way you manage your health. So we're going to take a little break here and learn a little bit more about our sponsors, and we will be right back to speak with Dr. Michael.
So what is Know Your Number, and how is this magic number calculated?
Know Your Number is a disease risk assessment. And so it takes information that we would typically collect when we're taking a family history or a patient history at a physical, and then adding that with several laboratory studies, most commonly a blood sugar and a cholesterol panel, and using that information to predict one's risk for preventable disease.
So what is the category of preventable disease that you're addressing?
The three most common chronic medical illnesses that contribute to a substantial amount of the healthcare dollars in the United States are heart disease, diabetes, and stroke. And we also have some predictions for cancer models that are incorporated into the Know Your Number as well.
Okay, we'll come back to that. But I've seen figures up to 75% of the healthcare dollars are being spent on, as you say, preventable diseases, which are things like heart disease and diabetes. Stroke, I hadn't realized, was part of that panel, but that certainly is a very important one. As far as the care goes and the prevention goes, a lot of this is in our own hands, right? It's how much we exercise, how much or what we eat, and how are you using these numbers to try to help coach people to do a better job themselves at home?
Well, one thing I would like to point out, your comment that approximately 75% of the healthcare dollars are being used in heart disease, stroke, and diabetes is correct. And a great majority of that money is being used to treat these diseases. I haven't seen a figure recently, but a considerably lesser percentage of money is being spent to prevent these chronic medical diseases.
Right, right.
Know Your Number, the Know Your Number report is something that I go over with my patients when they come in for an annual physical. And the information that I get from the three main things that I get from the Know Your Number that I'm able to open up a discussion with the patient are a five-year prediction for the development of the diagnosis of heart disease, diabetes, and stroke.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, it opens up the conversation between what are modifiable risk factors and non-modifiable risk factors. For instance, with heart disease, a modifiable risk factor would be cholesterol, high blood pressure. A non-modifiable risk factor would be something like a family history, or, you know, males tend to have a higher risk for heart disease. So it, first of all, opens up the dialogue about the different risk factors for these disease. And having said that, the Know Your Number will give the patient the percentage of their current risk that is coming from modifiable risk. In other words, what they can have an impact on.
Right. So there's a certain percentage that comes with the package because you're a guy or because you have a family history. I mean, the fact that your father died at 50 of a heart attack is not something that you can change. But there's another percentage of that risk that is something that you can take action on.
Yes, ma'am. In most practices, on average, in the United States, more than 50% of that current risk is coming from modifiable factors. That opens up the excitement for me that I may be able to help people prevent disease and not just look at it from a treatment role.
Right. Some people feel very fatalistic about it. You know, my father died at 50, my grandfather died at 50, so guess what? I'm programmed to take an exit about 50. But as you say, there are things that you can do that may change that outcome.
That's correct, and I'm not sure of your experience, but I know in the earlier years of practicing medicine, and sort of the way that I was taught to practice medicine, we often used the fear factor as sort of a motivational tool, and just like any other aspect of life, the fear motivation doesn't typically work very well.
Right.
For instance, if someone has a family history of heart disease and they had a father that died at age 50, they're typically told if you don't make these changes, you may follow in your father's footsteps.
But that's probably already playing in his mind anyway.
Absolutely. And the Know Your Number, which I like, the reason I like Know Your Number versus other tools is Biosignia has developed this prediction model so that I can tell the patient, here is where you currently are, this is where you can get to, and I want to help you get from point A to point B. And I see that is, you know, the initial assessment is objective, or it's a vision. Here is your current risk. This is the percentage of your risk that is modifiable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you modify this risk, you can reduce your current risk by this much. So it really focuses on not the things that we can't control, but really brings to the surface those things that we can control and presents an action plan. The third component of the information of the Know Your Number that I use in counseling my patients is that it ranks with a percentile fashion in a graph how you compare or how you stack up in risk to gender and age-specific Americans.
Okay.
And that's one of the motivational tools, because oftentimes I will see patients in the upper 10% of risk. In other words, if we took 100 patients, their age and their gender, and ranked them as a percentile for their risk, I've seen patients 95th in line. In other words,
they're at very high risk.
They're at a very high risk compared to their peers. But if they changed the modifiable risk factors, they can move up, and this is how I typically explain it, they can move up to the top 10 just by changing those modifiable risk factors and getting them back to the upper range of normal.
Uh-huh.
I've seen patients' eyes light up when they see the potential.
Right. So you're really giving them a hope and a way of measuring their progress. So let's say the following year they come in and they've made some progress. Tell us how that kind of a session would go.
Well, that's the exciting part of it. I had a patient that I saw just last week that we had done a Know Your Number on at his annual physical back in the latter part of the winter. And at that time, his risk for diabetes and heart disease was substantial and compared to his peers was relatively high. I talked to him about diet. I talked to him about exercise, a similar conversation that we had had from years past. When he came back this last week and we reevaluated his triglyceride level and his blood sugar level, he had lost approximately 15 pounds. He had incorporated a regular exercise program. His triglycerides and blood sugar had both fallen to the normal range, and he had reduced his risk of heart disease and diabetes, his predicted risk, each of those by over 50%.
Wow.
That was really exciting to me.
Yes.
And the bottom line is also he felt better, and he felt better about his health and was more focused on it.
Right, and that sounds like a much more, it's much more something that people can grasp. Usually they'll say, oh, your triglyceride number is this, and it really ought to be that. And it really doesn't mean that much to ordinary folks. They're just sort of abstract numbers. But you're putting it into a much more realistic context.
This is something that all of my patients can understand, from patients with minimal educational background to patients that have PhDs or even colleagues. And it's interesting, I've had letters that have sent back from patients and from colleagues that I had performed the Know Your Number on in their physical, and they had taken much greater interest in their numbers than they had previously. And I think it's because of the personalization of the Know Your Number and the understandability of the numbers that I'm discussing with them.
Mm-hmm. You can almost put it on a little chart and see the line graph improving.
That's correct. Studies have shown that personalized information that is given or handed to a patient directly from their physician is most effective at initiating change.
Mm. Yeah, that makes good sense. I mean, you said earlier about the scare tactics don't work. I know that the UK was trying to get everybody to stop smoking, and they had tried a whole bunch of things, so they decided to try the scare tactics, and they put up pictures of gunked up lungs in post offices and things like that. And the result was people smoked more because they were scared and they needed smoke to stop their stress. So smoking is a tough one. How do you deal with smoking, for example?
Well, smoking is one of the variables that is used in the predictive model for Know Your Number. And if one is a smoker or has a history of smoking, the Know Your Number will predict their future risk of developing emphysema and lung cancer. Again, I know right now you're probably thinking that sounds more like the scare tactic, but what I can show them with the Know Your Number is that if they discontinue smoking, that over the course of time, their risk actually diminishes.
Right. I think one of the things people don't realize is that your body begins to heal itself remarkably rapidly after you stop smoking.
The recent studies that I've seen in regards to lung cancer is that after about 15 years of smoke-free, the risk of lung cancer is near the rate of a non-smoker. And the most benefit you get in reduction of the risk of emphysema and the risk of lung cancer comes in those first years after stopping. So many of our patients have a 20-year history of smoking by the age of 40. So even by the time that they get to retirement age, their risk of lung cancer can be diminished to almost that of a non-smoker.
Huh, that's terrific.
Let's take a little break here, and we'll be right back to speak some more with Dr. David Michael about Know Your Number. We're going to talk in the next segment about controlling your risk for cancer, both those modifiable risks and those non-modifiable risks, working on the sum of the two. Stay with us now. We'll be right back.
Von Hippel-Lindau disease, or VHL, is a genetic condition involving abnormal growth of tumors in some parts of the body. VHL occurs in every ethnic group worldwide. At this time, there's no cure, but research is helping those afflicted and their families learn how to manage their disease. When a family member has a tumor, it affects everyone in the family. VHL Alliance works to improve diagnosis, treatment, and the quality of life. Finding tumors early, getting the best treatment, and sharing information with others to help them cope is what VHL Alliance is all about. They're available to help lessen the stress of living with this lifetime chronic disease. Support the Cancer Research Fund of the VHL Alliance at VHL.org. That's Very Happy Life, VHL.org. 1-800-767-4-VHL.
We're back now speaking with Dr. David Michael, an internal medicine physician from Greenville, North Carolina. And we're talking with him about managing your risks of a variety of chronic illnesses. And we're about to talk with him a little bit about managing your risk of cancer and the role of nutrition in all of these diseases.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you can use Know Your Number to predict your risk of cancer as well. Could you tell us about that, please?
The part of the questions in the standard Know Your Number report also include the family history of colon cancer and prostate cancer. And with that model, they're able to predict the 10-year risk of developing colon cancer or prostate cancer. And breast cancer is also included in that.
Mm-hmm. And are there modifiable things that one can do to try to reduce that risk as well?
For instance, with colon cancer, there are dietary changes that one can institute, and actually exercise often has a substantial risk reduction in many cancers as well. What it really does also is it allows me to discuss with the patient the importance of proper screening for these cancers that we know are effective in reducing the overall mortality.
Right. So if there is a family history of colon or breast cancer in that situation, that would increase the risk and then give you a certain margin that's not modifiable, but the way to address that is through screening?
The screening is certainly more effective in a population that has a higher risk. We have used breast cancer screening and colon cancer screening throughout the general population, but we're probably getting the most gain by those at highest risk.
Right. If we screen the general population, then hopefully, let's say 80% of those screens are clear and essentially were not necessary, but of course we didn't know that until we did them. But so the cost benefit for the general population is relatively low, but definitely worthwhile. But in a population that's at high risk, then you're going to find you'll have a higher hit rate, as it were. More of those screenings will actually find something, which is a wonderful thing because then you're hopefully finding things early when they're more successfully treatable.
And I think most patients understand the role of cancer screening, particularly in those that have a family history of cancer. And I think that's important. But think about the implications think about the changes that we could create in healthcare if patients were as concerned about preventing diabetes as they are about being screened for colon cancer and breast cancer.
Right. So, yes, it would be wonderful if we all paid at least as much attention to screening for diabetes and heart disease as we do for screening for breast and prostate cancer. Using Know Your Number is the tool that you've found to be the most powerful in motivating people to do this kind of behavioral change?
Yes. Since I've incorporated it into my practice and used it in the annual physical setting, I've really seen patients understand the importance of them taking an active role and learning about not only the disease that they have, but also learning about how to present the diseases that they're at increased risk for having in the future. That's where it gets me excited in the primary care role. Because with cancer, in my patient population, and typical internist will probably have between 3,500 and 5,000 patients. It's rare that I see a diagnosis of cancer. Very unfortunate when I see it, but I try to incorporate that screening and that prevention mode for the cancer. But I see people suffering from heart disease, diabetes, and the consequences of stroke multiple times on a daily basis.
Hmm.
So you can see the excitement and the motivation that I have of thinking about being able to prevent some of these complications.
Right, right.
And if you think about our healthcare industry in the United States, I think it's more geared around a sick care industry than it is a healthcare industry. I'm excited about the changes that we're going to see over the next 10 to 15 years in healthcare, because I think we're going to see that focus start